Right now, we stop down for
Entertainment News View,
which is brought to you by
Window Nation and All Pro Foundation Repair.
And here's Dave.
Thank you. And joining us for this segment and the next one, our rant friend Gordon.
Hey. What's happening, guys?
How we doing, Gordy?
Listen to that big voice.
You're extra loud.
Oh, am I? You need to turn down my microphone.
You sound good.
Okay.
Sound powerful.
Compared to Bob's mic, it's great.
Yeah.
So tonight is a big night for me. I'm going to see New Order down in Deep Ellum. And it was also a wonderful morning as I looked on social media and I saw the announcement that The Cure has announced their first North American tour since 2016.
Go Dave.
So they made a couple of festival appearances in 2019, but they haven't done a full-on North American tour since 2016. And so the Shows of a Lost World tour is going to kick off on May 10th in New Orleans and make 30 stops across the U.S. and Canada with support from the Twilight Sad, a Scottish band that is their favorites. They always open up for The Cure these days.
What a perfect name to open up for The Cure.
Yes. And here is something that is very encouraging, as we're all kind of, as music fans, constantly smacked over the head with how expensive concerts are getting these days.
They are.
So they are doing the Ticketmaster verified fan thing, so you have to pre-register.
Yeah.
To get an invitation to buy your tickets.
Mm-hmm.
But The Cure has mandated that there will be no platinum tickets and no dynamic pricing. So the prices will be the prices. There's not going to be any surge pricing or, you know, the first couple rows are $5,000.
That surge?
Yeah, surge.
Great to have you with a surge.
Anyway, so 3 dates in Texas, May 12th in Houston, May 13th in Dallas at Dos Equis Pavilion, and May 14th in Austin at Moody Center.
I will be there.
Have you seen them before, Gordon?
I have. Going. I saw them once in, I think it was Grand Prairie, I think is where I saw
them. Yeah, Verizon or whatever that was.
Yeah, yeah, and I'll go see them again.
They're great.
I definitely want to see The Cure again. I think they're one of our great American bands.
from England.
From England.
Speaking of music, the U.S. recorded music industry, per the RIAA report that was released yesterday, has shown an all-time high in revenues.
Really?
Yes. So in 2022, the U.S. recorded music industry had $15.9 billion in revenue, the seventh consecutive year of growth, and 84% of those revenues streaming, as you might expect.
Wow. So, yeah, I guess just instead of just being able to listen to songs on the radio, now with every human being playing these songs, and it would seem like the artists are going to be making more, though, but they're not.
Yeah, well, I think they're still working out the pricing and payment model of streaming. Every service kind of does the math differently,
yeah.
And all of them arguably underpay artists because artists are the product, basically.
Yeah.
But the number of paid subscriptions to on-demand music services grew at double-digit rates last year, so grew 10% to 92 million. 92 million Americans have a paid music subscription.
I don't know if I know anyone who doesn't, unless Gordon doesn't.
At what cost per year?
Doesn't say the average cost, but...
But what do you think we pay?
For Spotify?
Yeah, with family plan, is that 20 a month?
I don't even know. I don't include my family in anything.
Okay, so...
An individual account, I think, is $12.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's say it's...
I think it's $9.99 a month on Spotify.
12 you is do? For two people.
Okay.
It is?
Yeah.
Maybe me and my wife.
Maybe the
some.
Family plan's
if
like...
you tell them you're in college, you can get it cheaper.
Like, let's say it's 18. Let's say it's 200 a year. 92 million times 200.
It's a lot.
Whoa.
Now, as far as physical formats, still moving in an upward clip, although at a much slower pace than streaming, up 4%, 1.7 billion last year. And that is driven by vinyl. Vinyl grew 17% last year to 1.2 billion. That's the 16th consecutive year of growth for the vinyl format. 71% of all physical format sales were vinyl.
Dang.
And for the first time since 1987, vinyl outsold CDs.
Wow.
That's crazy.
41 million vinyl albums, 33 million CDs last year.
How are tapes doing?
Tapes are coming back. But it's niche. It's for like Gen Z. They think it's real novel to have cassettes.
Yeah.
To have to rewind to hear the song again.
It's just not a good format.
No.
I
mean, unlike vinyl, which, you know, people say has a warmth to it.
But at the time, we just thought it was portable, right?
Oh, yeah. It was so great. Better than 8-tracks.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm just music.
But yeah, I think the kids think that the whole idea of the cassette case,
it's cool.
It's just the tactile nature of it. Yeah, and the little gears.
Kids don't have machines anymore.
Yeah,
I think it's cool. Yeah.
And you know who didn't love making a mixtape back in the day and decorating the cover and.
Did you
writing
like
your
when...
little personal liner notes to that hot girl that you were hoping would enjoy the tunes that you selected for her so painstakingly?
Sounds like it didn't work out too well for you.
Nope.
Did you like it when your Walkman would eat your tape?
Oh.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm just glad that Gen Z is getting to experience the getting out the pencil.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
Having to rewind the tape back into its casing.
You're like, it still kind of sounds okay, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it warbles a little bit here where it got eaten once, but it's okay.
Eaten once.
Alex Jones, his company, Jones Free Speech Systems, which is the parent company of InfoWars, they have officially filed their Chapter 11 reorganization plan with a bankruptcy court in Texas.
Oh, no.
Ah, they went woke, huh? Because I'm hearing they're going broke.
It's true. That will happen. Yeah, if going woke means believing that Sandy Hook actually happened, then yes, he's gone woke. But yes, he's been ordered to pay $1.5 billion to the families of Sandy Hook victims in a couple of different libel suits. And so the company, Free Speech Systems, they had to detail their plan on how they were going to pay back all of these debts and how they were going to operate moving forward. And so did you even know like how they make most of their money?
No idea.
Gordon? I think it's, doesn't he sell like
vitamins,
vitamins and supplements and
yeah, the
Are
main
you kidding me?
The main part of their business that they expect to sell in this fiscal year $30 million in dietary supplements.
What?
No way.
Does he promote that on his show?
I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
Is that where his before and after picture that's always online
it's redder
is from?
And wearing a belt.
He looks exactly the same.
Yeah, he's just more red. Well, so not only that. Okay, so they show that that their expected income, and then they expect that after they pay all of their expenses and corporate salaries, that they'll have $7 to $10 million per year to pay creditors, including the settlements, the Sandy Hook families.
How long did that take?
Yeah, so $7 to $10 million to get to $1.5 billion. Like he still wants to appeal, and he said on InfoWars in October, he said, "Do these people actually think they're getting any of this money?"
Oh God! Oh,
I mean, he's such a horrible human. But here's the best part. So he, of course, is still head of the company. And he's also expected to hire a new COO. So he's CEO. He's expected to hire a new COO. And both he and that new COO would each get an annual salary of $520,000.
God.
And
not bad.
They would also have a potential incentive pool between $560,000 and $1.3 million.
Yeah.
So great. That doesn't scream bankruptcy to me.
No. No. I don't get it.
The aggressiveness.
What a launder through
what
a car wash.
What a tool. What a tool. Okay, that is your E! News. We need to run because we need a big, fat Grape Fest segment to discuss Jared Fogle.
5:14 here on the Hardline. We're off at 6 tonight for Stars Sabres. Right now we have a Rant Revival Grape Fest mashup on the ticket. Oh, here's Dave. Well, that was really a stinger.
And yes, we are still joined by the great Gordo. Hello, Gordo.
Hell yeah.
Have you watched this? So we're about to dive into the new docuseries, Jared from Subway, Catching a Monster, which debuted on Monday on the ID channel, and it is also streaming on Discovery Plus. Have you seen this or heard of it, Gordon?
Is that the, that's the murder channel, right? The ID channel?
Yeah, it's like always, the true crime thing.
Yeah, lover kills lover thing.
Yes.
So no, I have not watched this, and I'm assuming it's pretty disturbing.
When did this happen? What years did this all take place?
So, rumors of his misconduct started around 2007. Yeah. Hi, Miss.
Hi, Rue.
And for the record, 2007, considerably after his appearances on Bad Radio in 2004.
Okay. Bob's trying to distance from his friendship with Jared.
I remember you guys doing nothing but platforming him. You just couldn't get enough of bringing legitimacy to Jared.
Didn't you play Dallas National with him?
No, I did not play Dallas National with Jared.
Vacationed
from Subway
with him?
As he's holding up his jeans.
Yeah, I think you went to Thailand with him, didn't you?
No, that's also...
He went to the island.
Also,
So, yeah, 2007 is when everything started to be rumors about him, and then 2015 is when he got busted, and then quickly the trial happened, or I guess it wasn't a trial because he ended up reaching a settlement, but that's when he went to court and everything and was sentenced in 2015. So it's a three-part series, and there's kind of two main story threads, and we'll touch on those. They also talk to people who knew him when he was growing up, people that went to school with him, other Subway spokespeople that did the Jared diet and then ended up being kind of with him in some of the later commercials. You know, so they kind of fill in the rest of the story, but we're not concerned about that. We're just concerned. Yes, we're just concerned about these two particular storylines. So one is a Sarasota, Florida radio host, Rochelle Herman. And she befriends Jared because he does an appearance on her radio show and he gets her number and they end up having this relationship over years. And then the other two characters that are prominent in the series are a couple of girls, Hannah Parrott and Christian Showalter, and their stepfather was the president of the Jared Foundation.
Okay.
So let's start with Rochelle Herman. So she talks about this is one of the first times that she had ever met Jared. Not the first time, but maybe the second or third time.
When did the Subway campaign start? Was that in the 90s?
I'd say around 2000, but I'm totally guessing.
Okay.
He lost his weight in 99.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So early 2000s.
Bob knows the whole biography.
Yeah. So at this point, Rochelle has met Jared. They're friends. And they are doing, she's doing a kind of a TV package with him. He is doing an appearance at a middle school. And she's there with her cameraman, and there's some downtime while the cameraman is doing his setup, and this is how he first kind of broaches the subject with her.
Oh, no.
Jared leaned over just out of the blue and tells me how hot he thought middle school girls were.
Ugh.
I just shut down. It was such a shock to me. Did I really just hear what he just said to me?
So he kind of puts it out there and she just ignores it, right?
Yeah.
But then
would you think maybe it was a joke? Like, I guess there's no way to construe that as a joke.
It's a weird thing to bounce off a
someone you don't
sort
know
of stranger,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Or probably someone you do know well in both cases.
I don't know. Didn't he lean over and say the same thing to you, Bob?
When no, he did not.
On just one of his many bad radio appearances?
Yeah, just to clarify.
After we talked, a live spot.
All we talked were cold cut combos.
All right, so then she has his number, and so she realizes that things are a bit off with this guy, that he's not what he seems, and she has two young children of her own, and so she feels protective of them, and she's also concerned about, because all he does is tour around the country doing these public appearances for Subway and going to schools and talking to kids about a healthy lifestyle. And so she starts taping her phone calls, thinking at some point he is going to crack and he's going to say something incriminating. So here is kind of when those calls start.
I gave the appearance that I was somebody he could confide in.
I'm talking to you.
Throughout the phone calls, there was a number of times that he would bring up the subject of children.
Tomorrow, I'm kicking off this weekend program to try to get kids to eat healthier, and stay more active, and reduce their screen time.
That is good.
Just trying to fire kids up a little bit, you know. So it should be fun.
He didn't get into any sexual nature of it, but he deferred right to the subject of children. He must have been thinking about it.
So nothing bad so far, right? She just has a bad feeling.
The end.
She has a bad feeling, but she knows that there's more beneath the surface, to the point that she, and this is before she has engaged any law enforcement, she's just doing this on her own. She's got her investigative journalist.
This is to catch a predator, yeah, type thing, yeah.
And so she's like, I need to meet him in person. And she has like a dictaphone that she's trying to record stuff. And she makes arrangements to go visit him when he's in town the next time, and goes to see him at his hotel. And things got weird.
He started to become very hands-on, just as though he had a right. I very calmly just kind of pulled away. I did not want to get physical with Jared. I was thinking of every which way to let him know it wasn't okay. Then he leans over to me and he tells me how hot it would be if I put my hair in pigtails, and would I do that for him?
So
that's why he didn't like you, Bob, because you didn't have hair to put,
yeah,
in pigtails.
Yeah,
because you didn't glue on some pigtails.
I think I need to stay out of this story. I just think overall this shouldn't be about me.
Yeah, when he was up in studio with you, were you wearing a wire, Bob, to try to catch him?
No, I had no real suspicions. Again, just sandwiches and jeans.
Okay, I kind of have a... This bugs me about the production of these types of shows.
The really dramatic.
Yes, listen at that. All tonight. That ominous crap they have to play.
Yeah, I know. It's over the top. So at that point, he goes to the restroom in his hotel room, and she just runs out the door and books it to her car and leaves. And then she makes up some excuse like, oh, my kids had an emergency. I'm so sorry. I'll see you next time. And so she keeps the stream of communication open, and maybe a few months later, she finally gets him to start to open up about what his kinks are.
Oh, boy.
He was very much wanting to go to fetish clubs.
What if I went up or watching other people?
Does it turn you on?
Turns down big time.
I asked him pointed questions. I wanted to find out his true desires.
You do that before?
Oh my God, you have no idea.
What is the craziest thing you want to do, seriously?
Suddenly, he drops a bombshell on me.
I want to do everything.
What about when you talk about someone who's young, how do we do that?
We'll have to figure it out. We can work on that.
Like how young?
I don't know. Middle school, whatever.
Like a 9 or 10.
Yeah, that'd be hot. Yeah? That'd be really hot.
9 or 10? Is that what
yeah.
she said?
9 or 10, and he said that'd be really hot.
What in the world, man?
So, at
so
this,
wait, how many months has she been doing this with him?
I mean, I don't know exactly, but this is maybe like 6 months or a year into their relationship, and she's taping every single one of these conversations. So,
but they didn't have a they had a relationship, like a physical relationship.
No. Just a friendship. They had never consummated. She just made him believe that she was interested enough to string him along and get him to talk and trust her.
And all because she had this suspicion based on that time that he had said.
Yes.
Does she take that tape to the cops?
Yes. So at this point, she realizes this is more than I can handle by myself. And so she goes to visit the feds.
What age seems to be the easiest?
Early middle school, probably one of the best. Yeah. Girl that's already in there, you know?
Yeah. Mm.
After only about a minute, she said, "Is this who I think this is?" She gathered some of the materials, walked out of the room, and then three agents came back in.
You know, kids are maturing faster nowadays.
I know, which I love.
They were not only shocked, they couldn't believe someone of his stature would say these things.
So at that point, the FBI is
like fake tiger.
Yeah, it really totally does. It totally does. But at that point, the feds are like, yes, we need to start. We need to open a case. We need to surveil him. And they tell her these tapes that you've been making are not admissible because he didn't give you permission to record him.
Yeah.
And she, so they want her to continue recording him, but they give her some protocols like time stamping when the calls start and when they end.
Call letters.
And so
they, resets.
Resetting.
They keep going, they keep talking, and he just really starts to trust her and starts to talk about his trip to Thailand.
Okay, whoa. Is he into girls and boys?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
As we will hear.
Oh, boy.
Here.
What is the most unique experience you've had with someone, you know, really young?
I mean, definitely Thailand.
Yeah?
I would love you to go with me. We can get whatever age you want. It's just crazy. It's just easy over there. Different ages, and you just sort of choose who you want. And there's a prize for it, and off you go.
I want to know, what excites you?
When I had that little boy in Thailand, it was amazing.
Yeah, now tell me.
Oh, it was so hot, baby. It was so, so hot. Would you rather have a little boy or a little girl?
Okay.
Dude.
Wow.
Yeah,
come on. So,
are we doing?
At this point, is that legal? For is that admissible?
I don't know.
Like, once you contact the police,
I think they, at this point, they were trying to just build a case, and they were trying to get Rochelle to get any kind of confirmation, like names, dates, places that they could further investigate, knowing that they can't use this audio in court, but this could be a tool for them to make a broader case. And then they did try.
How did you not see this, Bob?
Holy cow, this is sick.
They did try to set up a sting, and they were going to use Rochelle's son's birthday party as the bait.
Oh.
I am going to have a party for him. Would you come down here for that?
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Jared became quite interested. He wanted me to invite all their friends and their siblings.
I want to see all the kids looking at you. I want to see your mom checking your body up. Checking your huge boobs out. Checking your ass out. Yeah, I want to see all that. I want you to watch me paddle, little kid.
Watch what? Watch paddle? What did I hear?
Pound.
Oh, God.
Okay. Oh. All right.
Wow.
And my dad.
Yeah. All right. So quickly, let's touch on the other part of the main storyline. This is what actually got him busted.
Okay.
So the guy, Russell Taylor, is the president of the Jared Foundation, and he is the stepfather of these two girls who were 11 and 13 at the time. And they thought it was cool at first that their dad was friends with Jared because they got to do cool things. They got to go on cool trips. And their dad was super full throttle, and so was their mom, to the point where they let the kids drink and smoke weed and party
at 11 and 13.
Yes.
What?
And they were grooming them to make them more suggestible to the sex stuff. And so, as it turns out, Russell Taylor ends up getting busted because Indianapolis police find text messages that he's exchanging with someone. He has a horse MPEG with his wife that he is trading.
What is going
on? What the hell? Wait,
Dave, let's go back to doing funny stories. Find something about breastfeeding in the news.
So here is how Russell Taylor gets busted.
Investigators served a search warrant at Russell Taylor's house to collect evidence associated with bestiality.
God.
Investigators did find images of an adult female in contact with an animal. And they identified the person in the images as Angie Taylor, Russell Taylor's wife. During the course of the search of Russell Taylor's house, investigators inadvertently discovered hidden cameras built into things that look like something else, like a clock, in places like children's bedrooms.
So what was happening is Russell Taylor was filming his daughters and sending highlight reels to Jared. And that's how Jared got busted, because of the communication and what was being sent back and forth between him and this guy.
So was the stuff that he said about Thailand, did that ever make it into the case?
No, what Jared actually got indicted for and tried for and pled to was the exchanging of child pornography with this guy, Russell Taylor, and going across state lines to engage in sexual activity with a minor, because he went from his
man
home
act.
He went from his home in Indiana to New York City, where he would hook up with underage prostitutes.
Wow.
Yeah. So one more clip, actually two more clips, one more from the show and then one more I want to play before we close. So this is the prosecution. One of the voices you'll hear is the prosecution attorney, and they talk about the flimsy defense that Jared's attorneys made when they actually got to court.
His attorneys said early on that he had swapped his food addiction for a sex addiction,
and that he was a good candidate for treatment, that he would be able to beat this and get better. That seems ludicrous on its face today. It seemed ludicrous at the time. I think you could have any number of addictions and you're not suddenly going to find someone who's underage sexually attractive. The defense had one of their witnesses saying it was mild pedophilia, that his problem primarily was teenage girls. But he was, according to our evidence, sexually attracted to children as young as age six, boys and girls.
As young as age six, Bob.
This might be the sickest segment we've ever done.
It's but your fault.
I'm still thinking about
the horse. You worked with the guy.
Definitely not my fault.
What happened with the horse?
Did you see what that horse was wearing?
Horse so
got involved in that.
Jared ended up being sentenced to...
victim blaming the horse.
To 15 years, 8 months in prison. He must serve a minimum of 13 years before he can be eligible for
13?
Time off with good behavior. And he will have to be under supervised release if and when he is released. He also agreed to pay $100,000 to each victim, so $1.4 million to 14 victims. So that is the sordid tale of Jared from Subway, and it's a very disturbing watch.
Discovery ID?
Discovery ID, yeah. It's called Jared from Subway, Catching a Monster. And I went back and I listened to a Subway commercial from back in the early aughts, and I feel like that there were clues there that we missed.
Okay.
Remember Jared from Subway?
Did you want to watch me when we were young?
All right. He's inspired a lot of people.
I want you to watch me pat a little kid.
He's looking good. He'll show you the way.
When I had a little boy, it was amazing.
Okay.
His name is Jared, and he leads you to Subway.
Oh, it was so hot, baby.
That's where it goes.
Gordon.
Listen to this song.
Bye.
Seven sandwiches with 6 grams of fat or less.
Would you rather have a little boy or a little girl? I should be
what an inspiration. Subway. Eat fresh.
That song is... It's so disturbing. It's like a striptease song. Like a burlesque song or something like that. Oh, my God. Welp. There
good
you
stuff,
go.
Great man. Everybody take a shower now.
Good stuff, great man indeed. Thank you, Gordon.
I think he left already.
He's gone.
Yeah, he's gone.
He had to hang up.
And that's the...
He was... Gordon
that's the
Keith.
Last edition of the Rant Revival.
Gordon Keith was too disturbed.
He quit.